It's Monday, May the 4th, day 44. Sir David King, who was the chief scientific advisor to the Blair government, has become so pissed off by the secretiveness of SAGE, the body of scientific advisors whose advice the government has supposedly been following, that he decided to assemble an independent shadow body, all of whose deliberations would be in the open, i.e. broadcast live on YouTube. It's called Independent SAGE, and its first session kicked off at midday today. I watched it live, and I got a lot from it. But something that one of the assembled experts said really struck me, and it's been ricocheting round in what might loosely be called my mind ever since. The speaker was Alison Pollock of Newcastle University, and she referred to the slogan that was adopted as a mantra by Boris Johnson and his crew of amateurs after it had dawned on them that this virus might be more serious even than Brexit. The slogan was, "Protect our NHS." "I always thought," said Professor Pollock acidly, "that the NHS was there to protect us." "Me too." But in fact, this slogan was just the latest example of the cynical exploitation of the British public's affection for the NHS that the Brexit crowd have ceaselessly and ruthlessly exploited. Those with medium-length memories will remember the referendum campaign in 2016 and the Leave campaign bus, with the slogan saying that departing from the EU would free up an extra £350 million a week for the health service. Earnest liberals, like me, wasted weeks of valuable time explaining that leaving would not free up anything like £350 million a week for the NHS or for anything else. The real figure should be £270 million or something like that. All to no avail. As Tim Hartford, an economist, pointed out, the more people tried to refute the lie, the more firmly the bogus association of £350 million and the NHS became fixed in the voters' minds. Tory attachment to the National Health Service had always been equivocal and patchy. Since the early years of this century, the party has also provided a cosy home for neoliberal ideologues, whose enthusiasm for shrinking the state also included a zealous interest in privatising large chunks of the NHS, while at the same time, of course, starving it of resources and ensuring that most of its key staff are underpaid and overworked, in the hope that this would confirm the myth that it was failing. And in this labour of hate, the same Tories were able to rely on the staunch support of the British tabloid newspapers, whose hostility to the country's admirable National Health Service beggars belief. Oh, and en passant, we shouldn't forget that Johnson's fellow travellers in the Leave campaign, Nigel Farage and co, they continually waxed sentimental about the much-loved NHS, while Farage, out of the other side of his mouth, talked up the possibility of opening up the service to rapacious American healthcare corporations run by the buddies of his good friend, Donald Trump. All of which made the slogan, "Protect the NHS," so particularly infuriating, when its actual function was to divert attention from the extent to which Johnson and his cabinet had been asleep at the wheel while the virus was quietly spreading in the country. A more accurate slogan in the circumstances might have been, "Dear NHS, save our skins." The other nauseating aspect of this is the way the leader of a dysfunctional squad of third-rate politicians has somehow managed to be valorized simply for surviving the consequences of his own foolhardiness. In Johnson's case, the NHS certainly did save his skin. But a near-death experience does not transform a moral cretin into an admirable human being, especially as he leads a party that will resume its obsession with shrinking the state and privatising the NHS as soon as normal life returns. Provided, of course, that it does.